All right, Brian, let's talk about the offense, and we're going to jump into the offensive keys to victory.
The whole show, haven't you, Vince?
What's that?
You've been waiting to put yourself in the lead guy role the whole time.
It's the bird dog seat, man. I'm just used to it. All right. I'm used to being on the left. All right. We're gonna revisit the offensive keys to victory that Brian and Trevor, I believe, it was Brian and Trevor this week. We're talking about earlier in the week going into the game.
And Ryan.
It was Ryan there too. Okay. I thought that was true. I couldn't remember which show he joined you guys on. Okay. So the three amigos on the afternoon show talked about the offensive keys to victory. So we're going to revisit those, give our great movie, though, right? Great movie. In a year full of surprises, underdog wins, and the so-called experts getting it wrong, MyBookie is the one book that's got your back. No fluff, no second guessing, just straight up action with you in total control. Think you're going to roll the dice with the other guys? Well, good luck to you. At MyBookie, it's never been about guessing. It's about giving you the edge. So every bet you place comes with confidence and a plan. If you know football and love to win, MyBookie was made for you. If you're new to the game and not sure where to start, Irish Breakdown's got you covered. Step up, use our promo code IRISH, and that'll double your bankroll with a 100% deposit bonus right from the jump. That's more money and more power to make winning plays. If you've been betting with us already, we've got something to share with you too. With MyBookie Plus, the new loyalty rewards program, you can now earn extra cash just for doing what you do. More plays, more wins, more cash in your account, no strings attached. Here's a pro tip to get you rolling. The NFL teams with powerhouse offensive lines are dominating the run game this year, and betting game total unders has been printing money. Stack that with MyBookie's risk-free Thursdays, and you've got endless ways to bet and win all season long. So why wait? Bet anything, anytime, from anywhere with MyBookie, the sportsbook that gives you control and rewards you for every moment of play. We're going to give our thoughts as to whether they accomplished that key or whether they did not accomplish that key. And if you watch this show with any kind of consistency, you know what the offensive key to victory is, and it's start fast. And I would say that last week we finally got to give them a plus, and that is not going to happen today, I don't believe. But go ahead, Brian, with your thoughts on the starting fast.
No. I mean, we don't need to waste a lot of time on that. They got that first touchdown on a short field. It was
25-yard line.
One thing I did like about this game, which I talked about earlier, is I thought the red zone pass game was pretty decent, like with the play action stuff. You know, you had the touchdown to Cooper Flanagan on that play, and then the little bunch route with the sort of the reverse, the under route by Jaden Harrison. But I mean, first drive, you're thinking, 7-0, they're going to roll. They didn't really threaten after that. You know what I mean? I mean, they didn't really threaten after that. It was a very poor first half from the offense. It was, they've been close to, Florida State wasn't great, but, it was great, but it wasn't bad. This is a rough, rough first half of the offense. For the most part, O-line didn't get a lot of push. I am going to talk about one of the O-linemen. I was going to do it last segment, but I'll do it this segment instead. It was just one of those things, Vince, where I just was not. It was a bad job. I didn't like they came out with no tempo, which I thought was a mistake.
We'll talk about that too.
They weren't real aggressive, which and just all those things kind of factored into the fact to the reality of this. This is one of their worst first half performances in a while. Now, they finished well, and they took advantage of two short fields and put the ball in the end zone. I'll say that. That's the one thing the offense did a really good job of in the first half is they couldn't put together long drives, partly because they had, didn't get a lot of help from the officials and some drops. I mean, some of it was their own fault. They're all their own fault because I shouldn't have said that because of the officials. Because the 78-yard touchdown pass was a legitimate penalty. That was a legitimate penalty that brought that back. So self-inflicted wounds, those type of things. But but what they did was, however, when they got short fields, they got touchdowns. And you got to give them that. You had the interception or the muffed kickoff at the beginning, got him the ball. What was it, like the 25? Punched it, you know, punched it in. You get the ball at the 3 after the Adon Schuler pick, punch it in. You get the ball after the Leonard Moore pick. And you weren't like sitting there right on the goal line. You had to make some plays to get in there. They did, and they got the touchdown. So as bad as it was, Vince, and this is definitely a minus, the one thing I do want to give him credit for in this game was the fact that when they were given the ball by the defense or special teams, they played good complimentary football and put that sucker in the end zone. And I think that's something that you can go out there and say, hey, you know, job well done. And yeah, at least in that regard, Vince, it's about it.
Yeah.
Positives in the first half of that game, really in the entire game.
Overall was not a thing.
Yeah. For that.
That is definitely the case. So let's talk about key to victory number 2. And you kind of touched on this a little bit, and you had push the tempo, and that was not really something that took place. Mm-hmm. There was a certain point, I think it was in the second half. I think it was actually after you left, Brian, I leaned over to Trevor. I was like, oh, they're kind of going a little bit faster here, you know, and it was surprising because that had not happened the entire game up to that point. So this is a pretty easy one as well.
Minus. And the reason that it's not that I like tempo. Tempo's fun. You should do tempo because it works. It's more of this is when your offense has been at its best, has been when you've gone with some rhythm, number one. And number two, you were a much faster team than Virginia, and I felt tempo would have given you a better chance of going at that and attacking them. And so, you know, Notre Dame never got into any rhythm, and you kept waiting, okay, well, they're not in rhythm, so now is when Coach Denbrock's going to push the tempo and really get this thing rolling, and it just never happened, you know, and I kept waiting on it, and it just never happened. So, I mean, I go the minus on this, and it matters. It's sometimes like a key to victory is like, it's not that important. Yeah, it's a minus, not that important, you know. They didn't run, you know, they got to get 200 yards in the ground. All right, they didn't because they threw for 370. So, yeah, it's a minus, but it's really not a bad thing because something else worked really well.
Yeah.
I think not doing this is something that impacted the results. I think as they were struggling early and not able to get into a rhythm, I felt that was especially a time when they should have really pushed the tempo, get Virginia on its heels. You know, tempo meaning not only speed getting up to the line, but also tempo to me is get lined up, do some motions, do some movement, snap the ball quickly and get them on their heels. And they never really did that.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was something that kept the offense from taking that next step.
Right. Right. And statistically, you know, the offense was good, right? I mean, I think I texted you at the end of the third quarter. I was like, Notre Dame's got 411 yards of offense at this point, you know, and it's like, but it didn't feel that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I texted you that, because it was like, doesn't really feel like that, but it's like they can play kind of a sloppy game and still rack up over 400 yards of offense in three quarters.
448, you know? And averaged over 6 yards per play, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
This is where I think perspective, again, continues to be lost on some.
Agreed. Completely.
The offense is an average. You're not average when you have 448 yards of offense. You're not average when you're doing that. You're not. They were sloppy.
Yeah.
It's not an average offense. This is an offense that over the last 8 games is averaging over 42 points a game. Mm-hmm. You don't do that over that course of time because you're average. You just don't. And so that's where I say sometimes we're sometimes people will say things that are so over the top that you leave me defending something that I don't want to defend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the offense did not play well yesterday. There's no defense of that. But then jumping off the cliff and saying, hey, this is a bad offense, or this is an average offense, or this offense can't do this or can't do that. Did you watch Texas yesterday against Arkansas? A team that Ole Miss probably could have scored 90 on if they wanted to, like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, did you watch Ohio State struggle for a little while against Northwestern on Saturday? Scored less points against Northwestern than Notre Dame scored against Virginia. Virginia's a better team than Northwestern. Like, that's the thing. This was a bad performance. Let's not try to turn it into something that it wasn't, as if, well, this is who they are. No, it's not. Just stop. This was they had a really sloppy game and still scored 35 points and had 448 yards of offense and missed 2 field goals and turned it over on downs at the 5-yard line. It was sloppy. They got to fix clean stuff up.
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And you don't like that on in mid-November. But let's not turn it into something that it wasn't, because there's a lot of teams that you could say that about.
Yes.
On Saturday.
Correct. And a lot of teams.
Because I got somebody say, well, you know, if you play like that against good teams, you're going to get beat. I'm like, well, it depends. Are you playing Texas yesterday and you play the way you did against Virginia and they play the way they did against Arkansas? Because I like Notre Dame in that matchup. Are you going to play the way you did yesterday? Ohio State's going to play the way they did against Nebraska or against Northwestern yesterday? Because that's a dogfight that Notre Dame could kind of be in on.
Or how Oregon played against Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, we could kind of do this all day, right?
Yeah, correct.
So just let's correct the mistakes.
Yeah.
Look at what was good. Look at what was not good. And don't do it again next week. And that's why correct. The drops are so concerning, Vince, because that's the one thing that we've seen sort of consistently rear its ugly head the last 3-4 games, in my opinion. And that's the one thing that does have me concerned. Because this isn't just a bad, like some of the things, you know, Riley's been reading the defense a lot better lately. So I'm not, you know, super, we'll, you know, do better against Army.
Sure.
Some of the other things, I thought Pat Coogan had a rough game coming off of probably the best 3-game stretch of his career. I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Right.
Emil Wagner had a not typical Emil Wagner game in pass pro. Okay. But it's not typical. The drops are a trend. And that's the one thing that had me a little bit concerned, Vince. But that's where I think sometimes pushing that tempo a little bit can kind of get you rolling.
It's fair. Yeah, no, that's absolutely fair. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Third key to victory, make it a space game. And what you mean by that is obviously spreading the ball, spreading things out, getting to the sideline. Don't just use the middle of the field, use the entire width of the field.
Nope. I didn't think they did a very good. I thought a lot of it was just right down the middle. I mean, just, yes, again, another minus, just a lot of inside runs, slow developing stuff, you know, no quick. I mean, he had a couple tunnel screens, but not a lot. Not a lot of really well designed tunnel screens. Some of them were like on 3rd and 18, and
yeah, and they were, they, you know, the two screens that I remember very well. You know, one went to Bo Collins and one went to Deion Colsey, and it was like, I feel like you've got better options for those. But
Deion did a great job on that. I mean, he almost did. Got the first down on that.
Listen,
yeah,
he got caught from behind. That's my only issue, and it has nothing to do with Deion.
Right.
It's just like
maybe that's not his game.
If you gave that to Faison, I don't think he gets caught from behind. You might score on that. You
Harrison,
know, or Harrison. Maybe. Right. Greathouse was hurt at that point. But, like, right. If you give it to those other guys, I think maybe you score. Like, that was my only issue with Love those.
Or Price.
Right. You nailed it. Right. So, that was my only. And, it's nothing against Deion. That's just not his game, per se. Right. But he still got real close to the first down because it was 3rd and long. I remember that one, but. But yeah, that was my only issue with that. I was like, why are you throwing screens to your 6'5" guys? Like,
right.
Interesting choice, but
okay. Right. Which I'm good with on first down.
Sure.
I am. I mean, there's times in there's a couple times early, they would throw screens to Bo on first down. Cause you know, you get 6-7 yards and that's the look that was there. That's fine. But like the 3rd and long screens to Bo were like, you're like, hey, let's get Bo the ball here. Maybe they were going for element of surprise. I don't know. Somebody in chat said Deion Colsey's waking up. Good to see. I mean, sure. But can we be honest about something? I get that Deon Coles, he's apparently not a really good practice player because he, you know, that's always kind of the reason. But can we also acknowledge that every time Deon Coles has ever been put on the field and thrown the ball, he makes plays? Can we also acknowledge that?
Yeah, it's true.
So
it's absolutely true. Know. No, that's absolutely true.
It is.
The only issue, because you said on first down, it's good. I completely agree with that.
It's because it's like an extension. It's an RPO. You gain no six, and it's a six.
But when it's third and 16 or whatever it was, it's like you almost need – you're going to have to make at least one move. Like, it's not going to be clean sailing to a first down on a play like that. You're going to have to make one guy miss, or you're going to have to outrun a guy or something along those lines. And it's like, I feel like there's other guys that could do that. So either way, but I agree with you that they did not use the width of the field the way in a manner that they should have. And they've got dudes that can do that. And I think maybe that was a philosophical idea for a game plan idea for this week. You know, I don't know, but I feel like they've done it in the past. And so I feel like it's in there. Just need to make sure that it happens more often.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart.
I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more.
We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series.
So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
The last offensive key to victory, number 4, is take your shots.
I give him a plus on this because I felt they did. I mean, you had the bomb early to Jordan Faison. You had the 78-yard pass. I mean, that was clearly with the attempt of taking a shot. There was a couple other plays where I felt they had deep plays called and Riley just went away from it. So in that regard, I felt with the pass game, they because that was the point. It wasn't to hit big plays. It, you know, like the 76-yard run. It was to take shots to generate it with the pass game. So I give him a check for that one. You know, I mean, the success wasn't great. So that's, you know, because you had the penalty that called the one back. Sure. You know, Riley double hitched on the go ball to Jordan Faison where he should have just
short.
So, you know, just take the gather, hitch, throw. He gather, hitch, throw. So by that point in time, Jordan had outran his arm a little bit, where if he would have gathered, hit, throw, it maybe he hits him a little bit on stride and it's a big play. So I thought there were some opportunities there for big plays that Riley just you know, either didn't hit or he had the penalty that took back the one that was, you know, the great throw and a couple he didn't read well. So I'll give him a plus for this one. Give him a plus for this one. Before we move on to the defense, Vince, I did want to do sort of we do a brief. Did you learn something from watching the film? And I did want to have one comment from this. Okay. I didn't think the O-line played well watching it live. And I was, and overall I was correct. I thought Pat Coogan had a rough game.
Yep.
Stopped his feet way too much, got ahead of his skis a little bit, way too much, reverted to some old techniques that I thought he'd kind of worked past a little bit the last three games, just kind of had a step back there. I thought Anthony Knapp again had a typical Anthony Knapp game, pretty decent in the run game, really struggled in the pass game, both with speed and with power rushes, I felt, which affected Billy Shrouth, and I want you to talk about that here in a second. Emil Wagner, good in the run game, had some pass pro issues. I thought his technique getting out into his kick slide with some edge rushes was a little late, and his hands weren't – he wasn't real physical with his hands, got beat a couple times. But I'll say this. I thought he played well live. Breaking down the film, I believe this is the best game Rocco Spindler's ever played in Notre Dame uniform. I really do. I thought Rocco was outstanding in this game, Vince. I thought he was physical. I mean, Rocco's Rocco, right? So Rocco's not going to come off the line and just drive his feet and blow guy. I mean, he's going to kind of play bully ball a little bit, and I would still love to see him, you know, maybe move his feet a little bit more and not just try to like he tries to bench press guys too much, right? Like he tries to hit and then bench him off of him, and he can because he's really strong. I'd like to see him get his hips into it and, you know, just keep driving his feet through contact. But he was getting a really good push yesterday, Vince. I thought he was fundamentally sound for the most part. I mean, excuse me, assignment sound for the most part. He had a couple, he had one play where I thought he got a little bit overextended and went down. He had one pass pro where he stopped his feet and the guy got into his chest and kind of drove him back a little bit. But outside of that, I thought Rocco was really good. He was real physical in the run game. You know, I thought he played a very big role in some of the big runs they had. And, you know, just it was, and he's been playing really good football lately, in my opinion. But I thought Saturday was the best game that Rocco has played so far in a Notre Dame uniform. And if you look at the double team him and Emil Wagner had on that long run, they were down. They were double teaming the D tackle. And then Emil did a really nice job of coming off and getting to the safety as he came down. Jonas Sanker stepped down, and Emil came off and got to him. But then Rocco finished off the D tackle. Got a little grabby, so just want to be careful there, but didn't get called for it. I didn't think he should have been called for it. But that was a big play by him and Emil, and he had several blocks like that. So I thought this was probably Rocco Spindler's best game, and it's certainly the best stretch of football he's played. I was talking to somebody before the show. You could make a case that coming out of the bye week, since the first bye, that Rocco Spindler has been their most consistent lineman, if not their best lineman. I think you can make that case since the Louisville game, or not, excuse me, since the Stanford game. I think you could say that. And I thought Saturday was his best performance, in my opinion.
I know the part you wanted me to talk about was the other side of the offensive line. And it was, you know, we've been lauding what Billy Shrouth is able to do and how he's the most talented lineman. And those things are all true. Didn't have a great game in this one, made some mistakes. But one thing I noticed this week, and Brian, you'll have to tell me if I was just missing it before. Maybe that's the case. But for whatever reason, today, as I was watching the film again, it was staring me in the face and I couldn't unsee it. Like once you see something, it's like you can't unsee it. I noticed that with Billy Shrouth moving from right guard to left guard, remember he started the season at right guard. Now he's at left guard as he comes back from his injury because Rocco is playing well. Made perfect sense. I totally agree with the move. And then you're putting him next to Anthony Knapp, who's a rookie who has struggled at times in this season, right? And so you want that veteran presence there. You know, obviously he doesn't have a ton of experience in Billy Shrouth, but, you know, he's a better player. He still has more experience in the system, et cetera, et cetera. So what I noticed was run game, they're doing their thing. You know, they're focused on what their assignment is. When I say they, I mean the left side of the line. They're doing their thing. You know, we've never really had a massive issue with Anthony Knapp in the run game. It's why he got the job in the first place. It's always been in the pass game. And what I noticed is that Billy Shrouth is very focused on what's happening to his left. He's very focused on what's happening with Anthony Knapp. almost to a detriment of his own game and the game of Coogan to his right, because he ignores what's going on with Coogan, because every single pass drop, he's looking to his left. He's looking to his left to make sure that Anthony's doing okay. And there was one time where it was early on in the game, is when Riley got just absolutely hammered by the defensive tackle. He had his eyes to the left, and he kind of did a little push with his right hand on his assignment, but then went over to help Knapp with his assignment, and his guy got through. And it's like, if you just would have stayed on your guy and trust that Anthony's going to be able to do his job, then everything would have been fine. Now, do I think that that is all Billy Shrout's fault? I do not. And this is Vince now talking. Like, this is me looking at the situation and thinking that this is probably why that this is happening. I think he's being told, hey, man, you are the veteran here. You need to make sure that Anthony's doing what he's supposed to do, and you need to help him out if he's struggling, because we need our left tackle to be a left tackle, and we need Riley to not have to worry about what's happening on his blind side. And so with you there now, we need you to focus on not only what you're doing, but then also what Anthony's doing, and make sure that he is, you know, carrying the water and doing what he's supposed to do in pass pro. And so I think he has really taken that to heart, and he's trying to be a good leader. He's trying to be a good teammate. I'm not knocking him for it, but I'm noticing that that is kind of his primary worry right now, is what's going on to his left, as opposed to what he needs to focus on and be a good guard that helps also the center and, you know, does some different things. And so again, it's not in the run game. He's still double teaming with Coogan. He's still double teaming with Anthony. You know, he's doing what he's supposed to do in the run game, and they're doing their thing. It's just, it's in pass pro. And that worries me moving forward. If it continues, because Billy's a really good guard, and I'm hoping that he can kind of figure it out and still be the sounding board and help out Anthony, but also take care of his job first and foremost, because that's what we always talk about, right? It's when you start worrying about other people's responsibilities that you don't take care of your own. And that's what I need Billy to do. If I ever talk to Billy, that's what I would tell him. It's like, hey man, worry about you first. Then you can help your guy. You can help your teammate.
So you're giving him the oxygen mask on a plane advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put your 100%. Own mask on first. Then you can, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So he was even helping that down. Yeah, no problem. And one other thing, he was even helping out at times when I don't think Anthony needed the help.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
He went chasing to help.
Yeah. And I don't think he needed it. Yeah,
I didn't notice that at first, Vince, to be honest with you. I just thought, I mean, I noticed that Billy had a rough game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until you pointed that out and I looked back, I was like, dude, I kind of see it now. So,
yeah. It's like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
But yeah, I mean, I think Billy is going to be fine, but it's just one thing I noticed watching the film back.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, guys, that's going to do it for our offensive look back at the keys to victory. So make sure you hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell, share with your family and friends. And of course, jump on the boards.irishbreakdown.com. There's all kinds of great stuff going on over there. There's going to be some, you know, video breakdowns and all that good stuff as well. And obviously, you know, recruiting nuggets and all of that. So best bang for your buck, boards.irishbreakdown.com. Make sure you get on over.